This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is climate change an opportunity for nuclear power? I'm David Brancaccio, first economist for recreation and edification, like to tuck into the notes from meetings of central bankers for a guide to when those bankers will make borrowing just a little harder in America. Those notes from the meeting in July are due out Wednesday. To start each week, we consult economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi there.
Good morning.
You know, we see these headlines warning about the pervasive effects of this Delta coronavirus variant. Yet really, our central bankers are still worried about bubbles and the economy overheating.
Well, there's two possibilities. One is that the Delta variant has no effect on the economy and we keep roaring forward. The other is that it has a terrible effect. The more likely scenario is somewhere in between, and that keeps the Fed on track to begin normalizing its monetary policy, first by slowing down its bond purchases later this year.
I mean, why do they have to normalize anyway? Well, why not just sort of keep the stimulative position? It's about not having firepower in the future when the next disaster happens?
Well, no, it's about keeping the economy on an even keel. So we've been running 6% GDP in the first half of the year. That's about three times, we think, the normal speed limit of the U.S. economy. So you don't want to run hot and slam on the brakes. You want to gradually ease away from that support, sort of allowing the smooth landing for the economy so that everything works smoothly and stays on track.
Julia Coronado is an economist and founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
It's the first day of class for students in the second largest school district in the country, Los Angeles Unified. The district is requiring now that all teachers be vaccinated by October the 15th. Testing alone won't meet that requirement, although the district is now set to test all staff and all students, vaccinated or not, each and every week. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has more.
For some students at the Henry T. Gage Middle School in Huntington Park, today will be a new experience. Don Luong is an eighth grade history teacher there.
I would say something like 75% of the school have never stepped foot on our campus.
Luong says he's worried about kids spreading the virus to each other and bringing it home to their families in an area with already relatively high cases. He says the vaccine requirement was the right call, but the district should have announced it earlier. Further south in Watts, Eldrenae Jones is a social studies teacher at King Drew Medical Magnet High School.
As much as I want to be focused on teaching, I also got to be focused on, are you wearing your mask properly?
She says she's happy about the vaccination mandate, but is worried about the lack of social distancing in her classroom.
You see all these chairs? There are 35 chairs in my classroom.
Jones says she expects that getting teachers to be vaccinated won't be a problem, but she does plan to try and persuade her students to get theirs. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
20% of electricity now comes from renewable sources in the U.S. About the same proportion, 20%, comes from nuclear plants. Compared to fossil fuel, nuclear generation is much cleaner, until it's not. Then there's the waste, where in some cases only half the radioactivity goes away in 24,000 years. Some advocates want to boost nuclear power in the U.S., pointing to France, which gets about 70% of its power from splitting atoms. In the U.S., the future of nuclear depends a lot on its cost. Julia Simon reports.
On the California coast, wedged between the Pacific and hills of wild mustard, is the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. This is where Kristen Zaitz works as an engineer. She's the co-founder of Mothers for Nuclear.
Why am I such a big fan of nuclear?
Mostly because nuclear is pretty much carbon-free, which Zaitz says is critical for the climate emergency.
We're in another drought. It feels like Groundhog Day here. It's just, well, what are we going to do about climate? So I'm just really thankful that we have nuclear energy.
Diablo Canyon makes nearly 10% of California's electricity for now. In the next few years, the plant's scheduled to begin closing, and it's not the only one. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says 4 U.S. nuclear generators are scheduled to go dark this year. Zaitz says if the U.S. wants to reduce emissions, closing these plants doesn't make sense. There are plans for new, smaller reactors, but Edwin Lyman of the Union of Concerned Scientists says they still need government approval.
The amount of time and money that you actually need to put into developing new nuclear technology is extremely significant, and it can't really be rushed.
So I am rooting for nuclear, but nuclear has the hardest path.
Dan Kamen chairs the Energy Resources Group at UC Berkeley. Though a fan of nuclear, he says when you compare nuclear to renewables, you can't ignore nuclear's glaring financials.
End-of-life costs for nuclear are some of the highest out there. They are in the billions.
He says solar, wind, and batteries don't involve spent fuel rods. And he says they're cheaper, providing reliable electricity without the specter of nuclear accidents.
So nuclear comes with risk, and it also comes with significant cost risk.
But there's a move in the Senate to help the industry with those costs. Some lawmakers are proposing tax credits for some existing nuclear plants. Kamen says given the push to decarbonize, he wouldn't be surprised if some plants set to close are given a second chance. I'm Julia Simon for Marketplace.
Now, you heard the representative of Mothers for Nuclear. A group called Mothers for Peace has long campaigned against the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant in California. While those mothers are pleased the plant is set to be turned off, they're still concerned about environmental risks. One piece of the plant has about 3 more years, and the second unit is set to close 4 years from this month. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.